Anyway, going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. I got a couple other verses we're going to go to and some of the points there. But 1 Peter chapter 1, I got this message together a couple weeks ago. It's just a companion message to a message I preached in the morning. And then we did testimonies. It had testimony time last Sunday night for those that didn't get to do it from the Wednesday night before, and we burned up all the time. I mean, we burned it up, but we took all the time with our testimonies, and that was great. It's great to have that, I think, once in a while. People like to hear the testimonies. But the title of the message tonight is Pursuing Holiness, Pursuing Holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you holy, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for a good number out tonight, and just for our Christmas program, the effort put forth, the people that are participating. We are thankful for them, Lord, and we pray that it will honor and glorify you when we present that to the public and our church family. Lord, I pray tonight you speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to understand our calling, Lord, the fact that we represent you on earth, Lord, that help us to be worthy of that. Lord, understand our responsibility as far as that goes, our responsibility to be a witness for you, not only in our words, but our deeds, our conduct, everything that about us. Lord, help us to be holy because you are holy, and bear that responsibility, Lord, and not take it lightly. Speak to hearts tonight. You know every need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The message, I don't know how this is actually going to preach. I don't think it's going to be a long one. Could be. Sometimes I've said that and it went longer than normal. But I was kind of feeling it more when I got it together. And there's been a two-week delay here on it. And but, you know, it's the Word of God. And I think, we certainly can get something from that. You know, in our text, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy," and that's, we've been called by Jesus Christ, called by God. "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That word conversation there doesn't mean just speaking a conversation. It means your life, in all manner of your life. It does include your conversation. It includes your conduct, how you carry yourself, what you do, where you go, where you don't go, all those things that, are involved in that, how you act, reaction, action, even attitude, and everything are, within us that we are. Holiness with God is a big deal. Holy, this is a big thing, a big whole, the grace of God called us to be holy. The Word of God is commanding us to be holy, and Jesus Christ is our example to be holy. So Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." In other words, he says, you can't see the Lord without holiness. God has called us to this holiness in past time, when this letter was written and to saints, to believers, and in past time, before we were saved, we had been imitators of the world. And I've been talking about that a lot, imitators of the world. We were controlled by, or our standards were set by, the world's opinion or the world's view. Talked about that last week, I think. And and you hear people say that sometimes. Well, like everybody else is doing it. It's what everybody else is doing. I've heard even people that were supposed to be Christians. I heard somebody that was in the ministry in a certain way say, everybody else is doing it. But what everybody else does is not our standard. Our standard is Jesus Christ. Our standard is the Word of God. And so, we had been imitators of the world. We had been, controlled by the world standards, or the standard we had was the world, worldly pleasures and all that. But now he said, "Listen, I'm calling you to be holy because I am holy." A good point is this, is that we can't separate the secular things from spiritual things. For the Christian, everything is a spiritual thing. You know, we can't, when we go out tonight, said this a few weeks back, we can't punch it out. You know, we don't turn off the light or punch out the time clock, and now we're no longer Christians. We're somebody else. We're going, you know, y'all young people go to school tomorrow. Now all of a sudden you're not a Christian anymore. You know, that's not how it works. You're still going to be, if you're saved, you're still going to be a Christian and should be a Christian. And you should be setting, you know, you have another standard, not what everybody else in school and you at work. You have another standard, not what everybody else at work has. You know, we have the Word of God and we have Jesus Christ who we know through the Word of God. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our heart. And so we have a standard that's higher than what the world is setting. Way higher than what the world is setting, by the way. And I mean, no peer pressure, no workplace environment, no school, nobody else should be telling us, well, you know, what we're going to do. I used to always have a problem with, well, you know, we one time we had this policy when we had Awana. Well, when school's out, we're not going to have Awana. I said, I don't like that. I'm not letting the school, whenever they're going to be out, dictate to us when we're going to teach the Word of God. I said, we don't need to do that. We may have less kids, but we can still teach the Word of God. And so at one time, things, we know, we were one way, and now that we're saved, there's a different standard. And it's a higher standard, by the way. It's a higher standard than what the world, that we see in the world. And so nothing, everything is holy. Everything is spiritual in for the Christian. Not, there's no secular, and you know, everything that we do, we should be able to honor and glorify God with it. Listen, if you can't glorify God with what you're doing, then you shouldn't be doing it. If you can't glorify God with where you're going, then you don't need to be going there. If you can't glorify God with what you're saying, then you shouldn't be saying it. I mean, that's just the way, that's our standard that we need to live by as Christians, and we will make a difference in the world. We will impact the world for good, as I said this morning, and if we compromise, we won't. That's just the way it is right there. I read Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, I hear Christians say sometime, well, you know what? I just don't, and we've all been there, right? I don't feel the presence of the Lord. Maybe there was a time you felt the presence of the Lord stronger in your life, in your worship service. I can't really hear the Lord speaking to me. Or I feel that distance right there. Well, maybe, just maybe the issue is holiness or a lack thereof in your life. Not striving for, like I said this morning, we throw the towel in so easy on anything that takes an effort. You know, you ever notice that in the world we're living in today? That it just seems like anything that takes an effort is out the window. We want it to be easy and smooth, and man, you know, we just want to or put the responsibility to somebody else. We don't want to take responsibility. We don't want to be tied down. We don't want expectations of our own. So we don't like to have expectations, this and that and the other. That's the world we live in, and unfortunately, it's affecting our Christianity, our walk with the Lord. And so holiness could be an issue when there's a distant, or we don't feel like God's speaking to us, or we don't feel the presence of the Lord in our life. The word holiness appears 43 times in the Word of God. The word holy appears 544 times in the Word of God. I said a little while ago, holiness is a big deal with God. That's why it's in the Word of God that many times. You know, one of the things that we do, what helps in keeping holy is the Word of God, right? The Bible says that we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. You know, that's how we cleanse, by the Word of God. We're cleansed, and so we can be holy when we stay in the Word of God. When you think about the scriptures that were written, who did God use to pin down? And listen, God, make no mistake, God is the author of the Bible. Men wrote it, men penned it down. The Old Testament prophets that wrote down the Bible didn't even know what they were writing half of the time. We were talking about it yesterday. We were talking about it. They were talking about the birth of Jesus coming up. They were talking about the Savior coming. His name was already mentioned. The place of his birth that didn't even exist yet, by the way, was already mentioned. The year of his birth, the time of his birth was already mentioned. Everything was prophesied, and these guys didn't even have a clue. They didn't know nothing about a Savior or anything. They just wrote down what God told them. But who did God use? 1 Peter 1:21 says, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Who did God use to write down the Word of God? He just didn't get somebody down, you know, somebody out on the street somewhere, didn't know him, somebody that was living in sin, somebody that was in a backslidden condition. That isn't who he got to pin down the Word of God. He said, holy men of God, as they were moved by God. That's who God uses, which when I get to my last point, we'll see that, one more time. Listen, every Christian, our job is to pursue holiness, going after holiness. Well, are you doing that? There's a good question for you to add on to the questions I gave you this morning. Pursuing holiness. Well, how are we going to pursue holiness? Well, we know, you got to pray. You know, you got to read the Word of God. You know, you should be in church. Those are some of the ways that you pursue holiness. But, what you learn, you have to put into action. Yeah, there's going to be some things you got to neglect. There's going to be some things that you need to do. I mean, there's going to be, there's actions that are going to be involved in pursuing. You can't pursue anything without effort, right? I guess effort would be wound up in that word, pursue. And so every Christian is to pursue holiness. Every Christian is called to live a holy life. And every Christian is called. We're called to flee from sin. That's what the Bible says. That, we're to resist sin, resist the devil. He'll flee from us, the Bible says. The word of resistance takes an effort. It takes an effort there. And so it's not optional. Actually, holiness is not an optional thing. It's a command. It's a command, holiness. So, what is holiness? Another word that's very closely related to it is purity. Would be purity. Somebody said, holiness is freedom from all sin. And that definition would work as long as you understood what that meant. When you're pursuing holiness, and doesn't mean that you're never going to be tempted by sin. I don't want you to think that, but I understand where that definition comes from. But holiness deals with our character, our conduct, which is conversation that was used in the verse previously, even our thoughts. You know, you can sin with your mind, and a lot of people that don't sin with their bodies or in physical acts sin a lot with their mind, and it could be anything, lust or bad thoughts towards somebody, bitterness or anger or just hateful thoughts. You can sin with your mind a lot. Even thinking about frivolous things that don't mount up to a hill of beans, I guess, could be. And then burning up a lot of time, or we could be thinking about those things that are holy and pure and the things that we're told to think about. Our mind, the mind is where the civil war is that's going on all the time. A conflict between right and wrong, good and bad, or pure and impure. My pastor always said, you know what, you can't help what comes in your mind, but you can help it staying in your mind. Get your thoughts on something else. I mean, if you've been saved a long time and you ever get victory over some things in your life, you know how it works. I mean, things pop in there out of the blue. I mean, things just get on you. What do you got to do? Get your mind on the Word of God. That's the best thing to do. Get in some prayer. I mean, I have that happen. And then when I get the victory, I just think, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for just getting my mind onto something else. And so, there's a battle that goes on there. God is holy, and we understand that. I believe everybody, if I ask everybody, God is holy, right? Yeah, God is holy. We understand that. We acknowledge that. But listen, God wants us to do more than acknowledge that He is holy. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be holy. What I said this morning, the question was, what is God's heart concerning you? Well, here's another, I didn't touch on this. Here's another thing. I'll tell you what it is, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, God's heart concerning you is that ye be holy because He is holy. We've already seen it in our text in 1 Peter, chapter 1, 15, 16, we see that. So I'm going to give you four reasons why that God wants us to be holy. Like I said, I don't know how this message is going to actually preach out and work, but I think if nothing else, the points will help you, along the way. Number one, holiness impacts our fellowship with God. Being holy or not impacts, one way or the other, our fellowship with God. In Psalms 15, the Bible says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor take reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. And so there we see that psalm could be summarized this way. Who can dwell with God? And the answer is he who leads a holy life. Now, when David wrote that, let me say something here. We got an advantage over David. When David wrote that psalm, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, the very presence of God, and really feel the presence of God. And once a year, and they'd make atonement for sin, and they had the sacrifices to do. And even David, the king, couldn't go in there. But we live in, the veil was rent at the Calvary, and now we have access to God, direct access, and we can enter in. But at the same time, I think, our lack of holiness will affect our fellowship with God in that sense. And what David, but the thing about David's heart, and you see it written in the psalm right there, here was a guy that was seeking the presence of God. I mean, he really wanted more than anything to be in the presence of God. Now, there's a good question for us right there. I mean, how many of you ever, you take thought, this is what you want? I mean, there's some things, like if you want, most people, if you get something on your mind, that's what, you want it, you work towards that goal. I mean, something obtainable. You work towards that goal, you get it. But if you want to be in the presence of God, I mean, how many people really take that thought? How many Christians think, God, first thing in the morning, man, I really want to be in your presence. Not only now while I'm praying and reading my Bible, but I mean all day. I want to be. David wanted to be in the presence of God. And he said, well, who can dwell, in thy tabernacle? Let me read it to you. Read it again. In verse 15, he said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In other words, who's going to be in your presence? And he said, he that walk uprightly. And he started giving some things, that... however you look at it, if you do them, you will, and if you don't, you won't. And, this psalm really, when you break it down, it deals with character. Honest, somebody that doesn't slander, somebody that keeps their word, somebody that protects the innocent. Nothing there is mentioned. That was under the Old Testament sacrificial system. He didn't say, Lord, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle and enter it in thy holy hill. He didn't say, oh, those that do the right sacrifices. Because, what did they say later? He said to obey is better than sacrifice. And so disobedience is not holiness. It's not leading us to holiness. Obedience does. And so David didn't even mention, who that does the sacrifices. No, he talked about character. God's not requiring perfection at the same time, but I think he does desire pursuit, not protection, but pursuit of holiness, somebody that wants it, somebody that's seeking it, somebody that's trying to achieve holiness. And like I said, I think a lot of people have thrown effort out the window in a lot of areas of their life, and, not too many people grieve over sin. Instead, they try to justify sin, and I know confession and repentance and all that goes hand in hand, and that's what we have to do. We have to confess. We have to be honest with God. Fellowship always happens. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. Fellowship, we can back up for it. How many of you get in an argument with your spouse or somebody else? You get in there, right? Everybody, right? And the reason is when you get in an argument, what? You got a different opinion about something, you're not in agreement. Fellowship happens when two are in agreement. It's the same with God. Fellowship happens with God when we're in agreement with God, particularly about what is sin, what is right, what is wrong. That's when we have fellowship with God. And so, God hates sin. And of course, so should we. So a lack of holiness affects our fellowship with God negatively. And then you hear the comments like, well, you know, I don't feel the presence of God. I feel distant from God. I'm just not, you know, I don't know what's wrong. I'm not reading my Bible, this and that. Okay, there's a holiness issue somewhere. There's a holiness issue somewhere when that happens. But when we're in fellowship with God, and you feel the presence of God, and you feel God speak to you, and you feel that love and that joy, you know how, and when you feel full of the Holy Spirit, guarantee you, I'm not saying you're perfect, but I'm just saying, you know, you're in pursuit of holiness. Obedience is on your mind. Repentance is something that's going on, and forsaking of things that we shouldn't do. That's what's going on. So holiness, one way or the other, affects impacts our fellowship with God. The second reason that God wants us to be holy is because holiness is important for our own well-being. And listen, I mean, that goes right back to the first point. Listen, when you're out of fellowship with God, that's not good for your own well-being. I can guarantee you right there. It's got your own well-being. You know, God wants us to be holy because sin destroys us. Sin, man, and you know, the more and more, and you know, I think I probably saw this or noticed this even when I was still lost and get into, you know, see what was going on in the world. Man, you see people that are just ate up, all kind of sin, killing them, alcohol, just killing people. Go down to the hospital. I don't know how many times I've sat in the hospital, people dying of cancer, smoke themselves to death and watching people dying, lung cancer, and then they all go out and smoke cigarettes. I told some of them one time they were out of their mind after seeing what we had just witnessed in the hospital room. Drug addicts, they can't stop. I mean, they're physically, teeth falling out of their head, ulcers on their skin, shriveling up to nothing, just keep doing. I mean, sin is just killing them. And people's lives are wrecked. Pornography is wrecking people's lives, marriages, and leading to a lot of other things that go on in the world. And so, you know, lives ruined. Sin is just, it's Satan knows what he's doing. I mean, it's attractive, or we wouldn't go for it to start with. But at the same time, it's like, you know, and you know it's going to kill you, you know. And you hear people say, I mean, he's laughing it off. I know it's going to kill me. Well, I mean, that's not what, you know, that's not what God wants for us. I mean, living a godly life, man, that's a good thing. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's spiritual death. Instantly, sin is, you know, there is no spiritual life where a sinner is. That's not saved, a lost sinner. And then it's leading you to, down a road towards death itself. And you ever wonder why, when you read the Bible, you ever wonder, and you look in the Old Testament and people live to be 600, 700, 800, 900 years old? Well, how come we don't live to be 600, 700, 800, 900 years old now? The reason is the compounded effects of sin from the time it entered into the garden. The compounded effects of sin over the generations now has taken us down to the lifespan that you see, the average lifespan. I mean, I know through medicine and things, and they kind of, it's a little bit probably better than it was at another point in history, world history. But the reason that we don't live those long time, that sin over those period of time has gotten us down to this point. And so, there's holiness. It is important. And even as Christians, listen, folks, listen. What I say this morning, the abundant life, that full life, the life on purpose, the joyful life, the victorious life. You can't live that life apart from holiness. And so for your own well-being, holiness has to, you know, we have to strive for holiness ourselves. And we'll never be able to live that life. You with me? Amen every once in a while or something. Just check. See if y'all still got a pulse and that kind of thing. Sin affects us emotionally and physically. David knew it. Actually, if you study David, when he wrote the Psalms, he talked about sin. He said, man, my bones, you know, or he talked about his bones being bothering him, everything about him, just his whole physical body was racked because of sin. And so he understood that. The next, another reason why that God wants us to be holy is holiness is required to serve God. Holiness is required to serve God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19 through 21, the Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's a command. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so we see holiness and usefulness, as far as God is concerned, are linked together. And he talks about vessels, a clean vessel, an unclean vessel. How many of you go in a kitchen, man, you want to get something to drink, and you know that you're looking for a glass, and you get that old funky glass that's sitting in the sink with the knives and the forks and that, and dump them out and just drink it right away, drink something out of it. Now, you don't want to use that vessel, right? Well, then he looks at the illustration is that we are a vessel. What kind of vessel does God want to use? God doesn't want to use an old dirty vessel, huh? He wants to use a clean vessel. Can't do it. He's not, you know, he's not going to do it. A lot of things he won't do. And so he wants that clean vessel. That's what he's talking about. And so if we're going to serve God, listen, we're going to have to be pursuing after holiness. It's just, that's just the way, you know, because that's what God desires. And there's, listen, there's things you can do without God. But I'm going to tell you what, there's not anything in the ministry that's going to be effectual apart from holiness. It's just not going to wait. And the fourth thing, the last thing, holiness is an evidence of salvation. You know, I don't know that, you know, when you first get saved, you know, everybody's at different levels. There's some people that have been in church for years, maybe thought they were saved, they got saved. Some people, when they first got saved, you just didn't know very much. You know, you found out you were a sinner, and that's it. And like I said this morning, you know, I mean, if you took a poll, how many of you want to go to hell and how many of you want to go to heaven? I mean, all the people with a brain are going to say, hey, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And so everybody's going to want to avoid hell. And so, you know, hey, do you need to get saved? Then, okay, yeah, I'm going to get saved. We'll do that. You know, I need to do that. But I don't know what all you understand. And I don't know that any of us knew everything there was to know about being saved when we got saved, what God was going to do. That sanctification process where God starts working in your heart. Like I said this morning, a lot of people, they just get saved, and it's just like, okay, boy, whoo, I'm in. That's it, man. And they're not looking for anything any further than that. But you know, I learned, and you should be learning, and as we look at the Word of God, that there's a sanctification process that goes on when we are in the Word of God and we're under the preaching of God and the Holy Spirit's dealing in our life, working in our life, that there's a process that goes on where God starts changing us into His image. He starts making us holy. Well, I didn't know that when I got saved, huh? You know, and you start learning that. You didn't know it. You start learning, and all those things are going on. Did I know that God wants me to be holy when I got saved because He's holy? No, I didn't know that verse right there, our text. I didn't know that. I learned that from reading the Word of God. You know, they used to say, I grew up in the, you know, late 60s, 70s, and 1970s, and, you know, you had the hippie movement going on, and I remember going down to Cape Hatteras, man. My high school would go down. We were surfers when I grew up. Everybody surfed, and we would go down to Cape Hatteras at Easter and camp out. Everybody would, and we'd get up in the morning, and there would always be some knucklehead up at the lighthouse down there at the Hatteras Light. You know, he'd wear this white-looking robe, long-haired, freaky-looking dude, you know, with a beard, and he had this look on his face like this, and he was trying to come off like he was holy. This was holiness, you know. He would walk up the lighthouse, and he'd look at you. You know, it was like, ooh, trying to create this, like that was a holy, that's, you know. He wasn't nowhere near holy. And you see people like that, those of you that were back in the 60s and 70s, you know, these guys, they were supposed to be a holy man. They wasn't a holy man. Listen, you know, when we become holy as we're in the Word of God and we're trusting Christ and we're being obedient, you know, that's how we, as we grow, you know. I mean, I didn't even know anything when I got saved about growing in the Lord. There's a lot of people that have been saved for numbers and numbers and numbers of years. They don't know anything about growing in the Lord either because they don't move past the point that they're at. But the Bible tells us what? As far as the evidence of our salvation, the Bible tells us that we'll be known by our fruit, the fruit that we bear. What kind of fruit? And it's going to be, you know, we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, you know, peace. Those things, we understand that. There's going to be a change where the gospel, like I said today, affects that has an influence on your life. The gospel influence your life. And the fruit starts to be spiritual fruit, not worldly fruit, which is all the, you know, things that are going on in the world. And so you're known by your fruit. Holiness is an evidence as we start striving towards that. You know, when you think about this, what do you strive for in your Christian walk? I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Say, if I'm going to pray, you know, Lord, I just want to be a halfway Christian, you know, or I want to be a sorry Christian, or what should we be striving for? You know, shouldn't be our prayer. He says, Lord, I want to be everything I can be for you. You know, what do you have me be? A lot of people don't think about it. That's why I'm trying to get you to think about it. You know, what are you striving for in your Christian walk? Too many are satisfied, you know, with where they are in life. I mean, they're just satisfied and they don't, you know, move ahead. And a lot of people have just quit, and some have never started to strive for holiness. And we see in the Word of God, that's what God wants us to do. Amen. All right. We'll stand. I'm done. And